Welcome to the Victory Through the Word broadcast. Today, Minister Will Wesley will teach and preach the Word of God. We believe that the only way to be victorious in this life is to be taught and to understand God's Word. It is our prayer that you receive the Word with gladness and let it increase your faith so that you can receive your victory.
Welcome to the Victory Through the Word broadcast. As you know from last week, we are doing a series on the subject of marriage. Marriages in this country and all over the world today, especially in the church, have just been under assault by the enemy. He's trying to redefine marriage. He's even in marriages that are traditional, have basically sown some things into the marriage that are designed to destroy. And that's what the Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I tell you, you better believe that he's out to destroy your marriage. I'd like to introduce to you again a couple that we will be working with for the next couple weeks, Dino and Jody Masella. They are the president and vice president of Family Face Ministries. That's Face as in F-A-C-E, Family Face Ministries. And they have a mission of restoring the face of the family through marriage and parenting. If you want to read up on them, you can go to their website. It's www.familyfaceministries.org. That's familyfaceministries.org. They have a wonderful ministry. My wife and I have had the pleasure of doing a marriage class with them. We were blessed to participate in this class with them. And so from that point, we decided that, you know, we want to bless people with this. So Dino and Jody, welcome again. Dino, Jody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Will. Great to be back with you. We appreciate the opportunity. And, you know, last week we spoke about three ways to make it through marriage trouble. Faith, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Hope, number two. Or, I'm sorry, love, number mm-hmm. two. And truth, number three.
Right.
And we focused that discussion last week on faith. Mm-hmm. Right. Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And we talked about using faith in our marriage, mm-hmm. and that even if we're going through tough times and hard times and just sleepless nights, mm-hmm. that we always have hope as believers in Jesus. He mm-hmm. gives us his word to guide us through that.
Yes.
And
you know, I really like the thing that we pointed out, that you use faith, because faith is really a weapon that we can use, that God has given us. He tells us that we have to live by faith.
Yes.
He says that without faith, he's not pleased.
That's right.
He says, this is our victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That means in our marriage, God expects us and he's pleased with us when we use our faith to shore up our marriage. And that's what we focused on last week. It was good.
Yes, yes. So this week, we thought we would move right into the next topic. The second of the three things we're going to use to get through marriage trouble, and that's love. The Bible says love never fails. So mm-hmm. let's start by turning to John chapter 13, verse 34, and turn our Bibles there. And Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, to love one another as I have loved you. Right? Jesus, he commanded us. He didn't suggest it. He mm-hmm. said, a new commandment I give you. This is the new covenant. Love one another as I have loved you. And that's how people are going to know that we're disciples of Jesus. But before we actually love one another like Christ loved us, we really got to understand what love is.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to camp on that for a few minutes here and talk about how distorted that word has come in our society. I'm not sure if it's because of our language not being able to describe what love is, but people just toss that word around like it's meaningless, right? Mm-hmm. They say things we mentioned last week, like I love pizza, or boy, I love Kool-Aid, or I love my car, or I love my iPad, you know. But then they turn right around and they talk about loving their spouse and mm-hmm. loving God with the same word, and it's totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to camp on that.
You know, and the thing that I like about this that we're going to pull out today is the fact that love is not just an emotion, and sometimes we define love in that manner. We think it's an emotion. Oh, I feel like I love you. Oh, you know, and it's like we have these little warm, fuzzy feelings and stuff. And love is much, much deeper than that. Love is an action word.
Yes.
And so, and I think that's what's going to come out as we go forward here.
So in the Bible, in 1 John 4, verse 8, it says, "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Right? God is love. And knowing God is knowing love. And here's the thing that just amazes me. We talked about using our faith last week, but the important thing is faith works by love, right? Mm-hmm. In Galatians 5, verse 6, it says faith worketh by love. Mm-hmm. So if the enemy can keep us mixed up about love, right, and what love is, which we see already, the world has twisted that word into meaning something, love material objects, but material mm-hmm. objects don't love us back, then the enemy can keep us away from God, and he can keep our faith from working. Mm-hmm. If we're not loving, mm-hmm. he's going to keep our faith from working.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we want to dig into, and it's amazing. God, he gives us all things that mm-hmm. pertain to life and godliness, and we got the answers right here in the Word. So mm-hmm. let's move and turn to our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the famous love chapter mm-hmm. in the Bible. Paul's talking to the Corinthians, and he says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith that can remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing."
Hmm.
You know what he's saying here? You could quote the entire Bible from memory. You could have mountain-moving faith. You can give up everything you got, but if you miss it in love, you missed it totally.
That's right. And that's what I believe God is referring to when he says that faith works by love, because love is what motivates God to do the things that he does. He's motivated by love, and that's not an emotion. It is who he is, because he said God is love. So as we go through this in 1 Corinthians 13, and we talk about these, I like to think of them as attributes of God, because this is who he is.
Yeah, this is the description of how Christ loved us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Paul says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Mm-hmm. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up,
mm-hmm.
does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things."
Okay, so let's stop here and let's go back here. Let's backtrack, because I like to really focus in on things. You know, sometimes when people read through this, they just kind of,
Sure.
But I want to go back. Let's go back to verse 4, and let's talk about each one mm-hmm. and what that means.
Sure.
It said, "Love suffers long and is kind." How many people have you seen that don't have any patience? It could be with your children. It could be with your spouse. It says that you suffer long.
Yes.
That means, in my own language, you put up with a lot. And you put up with it, and you don't put up with it with a frown on your face and mean, but it says you suffer long, and it says, and you're kind. Boy, is that tough.
It is. It love never gets tired of waiting, right?
Yeah.
And isn't this the picture of our Father mm-hmm. in heaven, right? God, how patient he is with us.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think how long he waits, how many chances he gives us over mm-hmm. and over and over again. Mm-hmm. That's the picture of God right there.
You know, when I think of this in the context of marriage,
mm-hmm.
I think of a minister that I read about. His name is Smith Wigglesworth. And hope I get this correct, but I believe before he became a strong minister of God, his wife was. And she used to go to church, and she would just irritate him to no end, because she'd go to them long services and stuff, and they get out like 9-10 o'clock at night. So one day he told her, he says, "If you go to that church service and you come back here," he says, I'm not letting you in." So she went to church, and when she got back that evening, the door was locked.
Mm.
And she knocked, and he didn't let her in. He made her stay out on the porch all night. Okay. This really impressed me. because you don't find very many women that would do this.
Day and age.
But the next day when he got up, and this is a true story, and he let her in. Well, she came in, she kissed him, she went in the kitchen, and she fixed him breakfast.
Wow.
Now, I don't know about y'all, but I know some women, if you lock them out on the porch, they wouldn't be kissing you, and if they fix you breakfast, you might not want to eat it.
Yeah. That's right. They probably wouldn't be on the porch the next morning.
That's right. But here's a woman that transformed this man's life forever because she made a decision that she was going to be long-suffering with him, and she walked in love and showed this long-suffering because look at what he did. He didn't treat her right, and she didn't return evil for evil.
That's right.
But she returned good for evil. And he said, Smith Wigglesworth, in his own testimony, said it transformed him.
Mm-hmm.
Love suffers long and is kind. If you take this love and you put this kind of love in your marriage, don't let the devil tell you that it ain't going to work.
That's right.
You show that long suffering and you're kind and you don't return evil for evil. That's why you see so many people get in these arguments. They have irreconcilable differences. It's because, well, somebody's not walking in love. But each one of you individually have to make that decision that I'm going to suffer long and be kind. Next one says, love does not envy.
Love does not envy.
Yep. You know?
Yep. It's not jealous. It's mm-hmm. not greedy, mm-hmm. right? Doesn't have a high opinion of itself,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it doesn't give up. It doesn't quit.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't receive because they just think it's easier to give up. And people can believe like a blazing fire for 3 months and then mm-hmm. they quit, but that just gets you the same result as not believing at all. So
that's why as the word says, don't cast away your confidence. And love doesn't envy. It doesn't parade itself, meaning that you don't walk around and act like you're better than your wife you're better than your husband. It's not puffed up. There's no pride. There's humility in this. And these are all things about God, really, that he's saying about himself, because he is love.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't parade himself. He's not puffed up in pride. And then in verse 5, it said, does not behave rudely.
Is that
a tough one?
Mm.
Don't behave rudely. That's so easy to do when somebody crosses you. And you know something? Jesus said this, and it amazed me when he said that offenses will come. He didn't say they might come or when they come. He said they will come.
They will come.
So everybody's going to have to face offenses. And when you do face those offenses, you got to walk in love. This is what we mean when we say walk in love
mm-hmm.
in a marriage relationship. It means doing the things that we are talking about now, meaning that you suffer long and you're kind, even when they make you stay out on the porch all night. You don't envy. You don't parade yourself. You're not puffed up. You don't behave rudely. You don't seek your own. You know,
that's
you're
right.
not seeking, hey, what's this just for me? You know, you're seeking what's for the other person. Is not provoked and thinks no evil. Well, I tell you, see, when you look at this standard that God is setting by love here, these are some high standards, especially when you pull it into the context of marriage. And I'm just talking to you now, Dino.
Okay.
I'm not talking to Jody. I'm talking to you. He says that you and I have to love our wives the same way that Christ loves the church. Men sometimes want to throw out there to the women, oh, you know, you're supposed to submit, you're supposed to obey, you're supposed to respect. But, you know, I think that this standard where he's talking to me and you, he's saying that you're responsible for loving her just like he loved the church. That's up there, brother.
That's a tall glass of water.
That's a tall glass of water.
I'll tell you what, that's a tall order, and you're so right. And if we can get to that point to where we just love our wives and we cherish them and we nourish them, mm-hmm. right, they're going to respond.
They are going to respond. And like Jesus said, he said, love them the way I love the church. What did he do for the church? Everything.
Total sacrifice.
He gave himself.
Yes.
See, you know, what response do you think you get from your wife if you just give yourself to everything?
Wow.
I guarantee you probably couldn't beat her. See, I mean, the return on that would be unbelievable.
That's right. Amen. Amen. I'm with you. Love never fails.
That's right.
Right. It never fails. There's bogginess, unclarity about that word never. It never fails. You know,
and before we get it, because you're right, it doesn't fail. Let's look at this verse 6 here, and then we'll move on. It says, but it does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times do you see people that almost gloat and rejoice at someone else's failure?
Mm-hmm. All the time.
It says here that love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. You know, things when evil happens, when iniquity, when sin, things that happen that's bad, you don't take that and rejoice because you saw something happen maybe to another brother or sister because you wanted to get even with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not love.
No.
And you know what? That means that that's not God. That also means that that's how you should love your wife. You know, you don't rejoice when you see her struggle with something. And I don't think that many men that's worth their weight at anything would do that. But it says it rejoices in the truth. You know, you rejoice when you see your wife prosper.
Yes.
Or you see your husband prosper.
Yes.
You rejoice for them because the two of you are one.
Yep, and that's another picture of God. He's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
He rejoices in the truth. He's not what a great example. That's just a sign of a carnal person, right? It's not a spiritual person that rejoices in iniquity. So at verse 8, Paul says love never fails, and that's pretty clear. There's no opportunity for misinterpretation there. Love never fails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he goes on to say, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease, and knowledge will vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child and understood as a child and thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. This is good. You know, when we get mature as a believer, God's growing us up spiritually. When we increase in wisdom and stature and knowledge in the things of God, we're gonna be able to walk in love more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the signs of our spiritual maturity. I think that's what Paul's talking about here. When I became a man, I put away those childish things, and I started walking in love, and I took the things of God, and I treated my wife with respect, and I didn't answer back with a sharp remark, even when she was, you know, maybe not respecting me or something like that. And that's not a specific case, Jody. That was
Hey, we all miss it. No matter how much we've sown into our marriage, no much we've been in the Word, we are all in a process. And, you know, we can't look at everybody else's marriage and compare it to ours. We have to, I always say, put something new in. And so if we're not continually putting things in, the Word of God in us, we're going to revert back to our old ways. And as we continually to nourish our marriages through the Word and praying together and reading the Word together as a couple, as a married couple, we're going to see good fruit come forth from that.
I like that. Not thinking as a child, and you get to a place of maturity where you put away childish things. And sometimes even when you think about marriage and the definitions that we have for love, it's almost like a childish thing. You know, you kind of, you know, people think it's going to be that emotion that you feel like when you're in the honeymoon stage of your marriage, you know, where you're kind of googly-eyed about each other, and, you know, then life really starts to come in and you start to see the real person, and that's when you better really love them.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And you better walk by love, because those things that draw you there initially might not be there. And the things that we're talking about here, suffering long and being kind, those are actions. I really love the fact that all of these things speaks to who God is.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that it says here about love is who God is.
Yes.
You know, God never fails. Love never fails. God never fails. And God never will fail. You know, the Bible tells us, I believe in Ephesians 5:1, that we're to be imitators of God.
Mm-hmm.
Dear children, imitate Him. That means we're supposed to love with the same kind of love that God has. Meaning that if we would take that love and love each other in our marriage this way, and know that this is what love really is, And you know, some of these things that you do, you might not feel like doing them because that person may have rubbed you the wrong way, your spouse may have rubbed you the wrong way, and you don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
But feelings don't have anything to do with this. Yeah. These are action things. It's the greatest of these. And we go on down to verse 13. Now by faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Yes, it's the most important, right? And faith doesn't work without it. God himself, he so loved the world, right? He gave mm-hmm. Jesus for us, his mm-hmm. only son. What kind of demonstration of love is that? Mm-hmm. He gave so that when we believe in him, we wouldn't perish, we'd have everlasting life. And he gave, and he didn't ask for anything in return. He did it just as an action, as a choice.
Love is a choice.
He made the choice to love us. Our love shouldn't be a response to a condition, right? If our spouse is loving us back. If we want to love the way Jesus loved us, we need to love unconditionally. And it's a choice. It is a choice. Some people say, you know, well, you love me first, and then I'll show you love back, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Or how do you expect me to love you when you're not loving me first? Mm-hmm. And maybe you heard some people say, well, we just fell out of love. Well, that's just because they chose mm-hmm. not to, right?
That's right.
But love is, like you said, it's an action. Mm-hmm. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. Feelings change. Feelings change by the minute. Our feelings change. But mm-hmm. God, who is love, he never changes. He never, ever changes. Can you imagine if God waited? He did wait. He's so patient. But imagine if we had to wait for God to love us mm-hmm. until we loved him first, right? Mm-hmm.
We'd be in trouble.
We'd be in deep trouble.
Yeah.
But the Bible says he loved us even when we were against him. Romans 5:8 says God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. So here's another good picture, another good visual for mm-hmm. you. God loved us even while we were sinning. Even if your spouse is sinning against you, our command is to love them.
Mm-hmm.
Our command is to respond with love.
A scripture I really love is, it says love covers a multitude of faults.
Yes.
Or sin.
Yes.
And you know, we don't want to throw that out there because everybody's afraid that, oh, you know, if I tell them that, people are just like giving them a license to go sin. No, it's not. Anything that God tells you to do is good. And, you know, the enemy might want you to think that that's so. But God says that if you love someone, he says that it covers a multitude, not one or two. It covers a multitude of sins. And it's not making an excuse for it, but it's just doing what God said, doing the word. Because if you love God, if you love your spouse the way that Christ loved the church, you're gonna always win, because love never fails.
Love never fails.
And there's nothing that you can do against it. In Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to look that up, and I want to read that. I'll let you go ahead and read Luke 6:32, and I want to come back to Galatians chapter 6, because I want to show you something that it says about love.
Okay, all right. So Luke 6:32, just talking about loving people who, when they're unlovable, you know, it says that if you love those that love you, what credit is that to you, right? That's easy when someone's loving you to love them back. But, you know, when they're not loving you, that's the tough part. The Bible says even sinners love those who love them. Even the unsaved people can love people that love them. But it's going to really define us and show us as being believers in Christ if we can love our spouse or love others when they're not loving us.
Even if your spouse is treating you horrible, we are still supposed to respond in love with one another. God says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and mistreat you. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Remember, God is love. God is not a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
God is not a feeling. Feelings are in a constant state of change, and we have to be aware of that every day, that our feelings are in a constant state of change. If you base your life on feelings and not on God's word, you will set yourself up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
We have to base our lives on God's word and what God's instruction book, the Bible, says of how to get through every circumstance in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual people do not base their life on their feelings. They learn how to change their feelings to how they should be, acting on your feelings is a sign of a carnal person, like you said, Dino. Mm-hmm. It's it's carnal. It's carnal.
Just allowing your flesh to control you.
And as us as believers, we're supposed to be, our marriages are supposed to be an example to the world. We're not, our marriages aren't supposed to look like the world's marriages. We're supposed to be shining lights and shine our marriage for being an example to the world.
And when you, and this is what I wanted to read to you, when you begin to walk in love, mm-hmm. the enemy has nothing he can do to stop it.
That's right.
You know what it says in Galatians chapter 5? But in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See, again, when you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, one of which is love, there is no law. There is nothing that the enemy can do to make it fail.
Okay.
And that's why he wants to keep you out of love, because when you get in love and you walk in love, it never fails.
That's right.
Against such there is no law.
That's good.
You know, there is nothing out there that when you say, I'm going to walk in love, that the enemy can bring up in your marriage and say, I'm going to make that marriage fail.
That's right.
Walk in love, the Bible says, love never fails. Even if your spouse, I like what you said, even if your spouse is not doing it, it's okay. You walk in love.
That's right.
It's not, don't be in that conditional situation. Have unconditional love. Means that I don't care what you do, I'm going to love you. That's transforming power
in
a marriage. That's something that'll make your marriage be on solid ground. I'm not looking at you and predicating my actions on what you do. I'm just deciding. I made a decision. I'm going to walk in love. And when you do that, love never fails.
Yes. Amen.
I think it really breaks down walls, because sometimes we can build walls up between our spouses and things that they've done to us or we've done to them, or misunderstandings or miscommunication. And just by walking in love, those walls just come down. Mm-hmm. So we can connect, you know, as one, as mm-hmm. Jesus the Christ.
Well, this has been really good, talking about love and how important love is. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, he said of the three, faith, hope, he said love is the greatest of those three.
Yes.
And that's so important that you have love. That's the way to keep your marriage out of trouble, is to make a decision today to walk in love. And I know that there are those that are listening to us that are struggling. Maybe your spouse don't love you the way that they should. Maybe they haven't treated you the way that they should. But that's okay, because you've got a weapon called love that's greater than all.
That's right.
And if you would walk in love and obey God, you will never fail. I guarantee you, your marriage could be in trouble. You start walking in love, and God will turn it around. They can't understand why they treat you ugly, and then you turn around and love them.
That's right.
Oh, look what it did to Smith Wigglesworth. You know, he locks his wife out on the porch and leaves her out there all night. She comes in and makes breakfast for him. That's love, transforming power. That transformed him. And I believe that there are those that are listening to us today that have marriages that need to make a decision. You don't have to wait till it gets into trouble. And if it's in trouble, we certainly will pray with you and believe. And I'm telling you, these things that we're talking about today can transform your marriage. Don't wait till it gets into trouble. Get 1 Corinthians 13 out. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on the wall and read it all the time. And know what love is, and then be a doer of those things and not just someone that hears it. Jody, would you lead us in prayer?
Sure.
Why don't you pray for the marriages today, that those that might be struggling with love, and pray that it's going to bless them.
Thank you, Lord. Lord God, I just, in Jesus' name, I just lift up every marriage, Lord God, to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your word says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constrains us, Lord. I just ask that for every spouse listening, Lord, that your love would constrain them, Lord, that they would make the decision today to walk in love no matter how the one treats the other. And Lord God, I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that marriages would be restored by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for fruit to come forth, good fruit in each and every marriage, Lord, as they continue to walk in love with their spouse, serving their spouse, Lord, that, Lord, we would just hear great testimony. To you be the glory, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the love of Jesus will be shed abroad in our hearts and every household, with our children and with our spouses. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
And thank you for joining us today on the Victory Through the Word broadcast. For those that may have missed the first, and if you want to download any of these segments, you can go to
www.familyfaceministries.org.
So God bless you. Have a wonderful day in church, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Victory Through the Word broadcast with Will Wesley. If this program has been a blessing to you, please send your prayer requests, testimonies, and financial support to West Ministries, P.O. Box 431132, Pontiac, Michigan 48343, with checks payable to West Ministries.